This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Medicaid funding, as you just heard, is a challenge for everyone in this state. Healthcare organizations are facing that. Others that face healthcare organizations include tensions between doctors and administrators, changes affected by the Affordable Care Act, and, of course, an increasing number of mental health patients with few alternatives but to turn up at the emergency room. WakeMed Health and Hospitals is on the front lines in these battles, and it struggles with these issues even as it works through particular controversies of its own. Last month, WakeMed welcomed a new CEO. Donald Ginzig is a retired Rear Admiral with the United States Navy, and he joins us now. Donald Ginzig, welcome to the State of Things. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Frank. Great to be here.
We were talking about Medicaid changes, and of course a change last year, over the last couple of years, not to include 500,000 or so people, but rejecting federal money. And then there's a Senate proposal now that would because of the change in standards and eligibility, according to the Senate proposal now on the table, thousands more people would not be eligible for Medicaid under that proposal. The House plan doesn't have that. I'm going to ask you to weigh in on that. Huh? What would you like to see as somebody who runs a hospital system in this state?
Well, for us in particular, we're a very large health system where everyone's hospital in Wake County. We take care of all folks that come to see us, and a large part of that is caring for those that are uninsured and caring for those that are Medicaid and Medicare and other government-funded programs. And so it becomes a greater challenge when fewer people qualify for it or reimbursement is cut for it to deliver care, because in most cases the cost that we're paid doesn't cover the cost of delivering the care. Still true to our mission, deliver the same quality care and emphasis out there just creates greater challenges for us. So, I understand the political process and the give and take in that, but I also know that we're on the front lines, as you mentioned, looking in people's eyes and delivering care to people when they're most vulnerable that come to see us. And so we're very confident in the leadership to be able to work together. We've developed great relationships along those lines. Got to have a fiscal response and some parameters in there, because if things continued at the status quo, this country, and in particular North Carolina, is going to face some real devastating shortfalls. So that's why we're so committed to partnering with physicians and communities and other health systems and faith-based organizations to see what we can do working together, and in particularly partnering with the legislature and the governor.
You, earlier in your career, ran a nonprofit and a faith-based nonprofit as well that delivered health care. And, of course, one of the debates now in this state is whether to continue on with what turns out to be an award-winning network of care for low-wealth people and people who qualify, or turn it over to some kind of an HMO. And I wonder, given your experience in this business, what you think might work best.
Well, I can tell you that the cost of care isn't going down. And so with a finite amount of dollars, most managed care organizations, and they have a purpose and a mission and shareholders that they've got to take care of as well, for the most part, they're going to take their percentage off the top and then try to ratchet down care and pricing to physicians and hospitals and other providers out there. And so, I'm a very strong believer in, if we can't get together to focus on how we can improve people's health and deliver care in a high-quality, affordable manner, then shame on us. And really, people's hearts are in the right place to be able to do that. It's been proven it can work, and it's going to take us working together to try to develop an approach to do that.
Hearts are in the right place, but the critics from all sides will tell you that the incentives are not. And where you place the incentives is where you're going to get your outcomes. Imagine out loud for us a kind of a system, incentive system, that would in some ways put the emphasis on outcomes and not on procedures. Certainly that's been in the limelight, right? Paying doctors and even hospitals for procedures doesn't guarantee outcomes. And so there's the incentives in the right and wrong places. How do you see it going forward that would guarantee better outcomes and a better bang for our buck?
Well, I think if you take a look at an accountable care approach, where you engage the patient and family, you engage the providers in the community, and you engage the community itself to work on keeping people healthier. A lot of the illness, injury, and disease we treat is lifestyle driven, and you still make sure that people are able to get access. The primary reason we have the current system that we do is we were a nation without a robust healthcare system 50, 60, 70 years ago. So how do you increase access for people? You fund building new hospitals. So Hill Burton built a lot of hospitals through government funding match around the state and around the country, WakeMed being one of those. And you encourage medical schools to train more doctors, and you encourage doctors to move to areas, and you paid them for delivering care. So that increased access. The problem then comes is how do you really make that shift for now that we have access in many more places than we've had? How do you focus on improving that health? Now, people are still going to need health care, right? People are going to fall off ladders and get diseases and get injured doing things. So you're still going to need the bricks and mortar, but if you can start to shift, and that's something we saw very heavily in the military. Yes, we took care of a lot of traumatic and other types of injuries, but we also focus very heavily on keeping, you know, our warfighters and their families healthy and ready to go carry out the mission of the nation.
Do you have a fair amount of faith in an accountable care kind of system?
I think it's a better model as we start to transition to it. Clearly, again, we can't continue to do what we've been doing. We as a nation can't fiscally support that.
Well, and fiscal responsibility is the other side of this. I mean, one way or another, we have to pay for it. Now, if we let people keep going to the emergency rooms, et cetera, we pay one way or the other. And you faced that at WakeMed, not you personally, but WakeMed certainly did. And when you took over, it was facing operating losses, certainly did last year. Things seem to be leveling out. Where are you now? And if things are improving, why?
Well, we're moving in the right direction, and a big part of WakeMed's got a wonderful, proud history, been around 53 years, and has had one operating loss in 52 years. And I dare say there aren't many health systems out there that wouldn't trade that record with WakeMed. That said, the challenges unabated need to be dealt with. And so we're focusing on how we can increase value, maintain an affordability for folks, and driving health care up. And you mentioned one of our both blessings and a challenge is that we're where people come, right? And so we do deliver the majority, nearly 90% of care to people who have no other means in Wake County. And we do deliver care to a very large Medicaid population, as well as, you know, Blue Cross and a lot of other folks along those lines. But for us, the greater challenge is the fact that we have a very high percentage. Again, a blessing. You know, it's great to have that real purpose and mission in the community, but it does make it very interesting on how we respond to it. And so for us, it's been really about how we can partner. Right, how we can help people get care in the most appropriate setting. You mentioned emergency rooms. Emergency rooms are wonderful if you have an emergency, but I dare say the majority of emergency room visits across the nation are for things that could be done in a lower cost setting.
And one way or another, we're all going to pay for that. It's going to find its way into our insurance premiums if we're lucky enough to have that, or, you know, one way or another, we're going to pay for it, or people who are not treated, particularly in mental health,
yes,
who end up back on the street. But let me ask you about the losses at WakeMed,
sure,
what accounted for them, and things seem to be leveling off. What happened? You made some changes, and things are turning around.
Well, a number of things created the losses. Number one is we're investing in the future, right? So sometimes you got to take money today and pay for something that's going to help you in the long run. So one of the things we funded was the creation of Accountable Care Organization, which is a partnership with Key Physicians and WakeMed, and we created Wake Key Community Care, again, to position us to be able to deliver accountable care for a defined population. And so we were privileged them to be able to be identified as a Medicare shared savings participant. So we've got a covered life population there. We're working with Blue Cross and other insurers to bring populations into there as we make a greater transition from health care to health. So investing in something today that doesn't have a return but is going to position us for where health care is going created some of that. Again, higher uninsured population that we care for. You mentioned the mental health challenges. We're putting a, and I'm excited about it, a new electronic health record in, probably the premier one in the nation, which is really in the long run going to help us from an exchange of information and quality of care, but also in the short run has certain costs associated with ramping up for that. So there were a number of factors.
So those are the costs. The accountable care, for instance, that project costs you money, and that's something you have to – accountable care, much like what's already in place here in North Carolina, and getting back to our legislation that we're facing right now, the House plan would maintain the accountable care program that the governor prefers. If you're keeping score, the Senate would reject that in favor of something else. But I want to get back to then. So that's your cost. That's what you're facing. So how did you bring some of those costs down on the other side of the ledger?
Well, for us in particular, it's been about focusing on making sure that we're delivering high quality and value. And I can tell you within any organization, but in particularly healthcare, there's some wasted dollars, right? So every time we open a pack in the OR and didn't have to use it, every time we have to refill out something, every time we're not able to have somebody cared for when they need to be cared for, those sorts of things. So we're really working very closely on driving quality up and making sure that we're managing our cost and our value as a part of that. And people are a big part of that. And so we got to make sure we have the right number of people with the right skills at the right place. And that's an art and a science. And so we focused very heavily on making sure we get that match.
Which meant some layoffs?
A few, yes. We had a couple services, but mostly we've been able to do it just through good leadership and good management and good teamwork, predominantly, you know, through attrition and being able to retrain folks that weren't needed one place and put them someplace else. I mean, people move out of town, people retire, people get pregnant and stay home with their kids and those sorts. So there's enough that we have been able to do the majority of it without having to come in and slash and burn.
We talked about mental health a couple of times. And, of course, former CEO, your predecessor, Bill Atkinson, very concerned about WakeMed carrying an unfair share of mental health patients in the county. How is that working out now? Is that continuing to be a problem?
It's still a challenge, but there have been a number of steps to help mitigate that. And so we've had a great relationship that we've developed with University of North Carolina as they've partnered in expanding Wakebrook, which has a crisis access and some inpatient services. They're looking at expanding some bed capacity there. Holly Hill is expanding its inpatient capability. We're working with some other partnerships. So we're starting to see some progress. Again, it wasn't a fastly created problem, and it's not going to be a quickly resolved, but we're starting to move in the right direction. That said, it's going to take even more effort to prepare for the challenges that we're going to see over the next 4 to 5 to 10 years. And so we're looking at forming a group to be able to help address those in partnership with the county, in partnership with other organizations as well.
Now, some of that increased spending by RECs in Wake County and on those facilities came as the result of a fairly contentious round between, again, your predecessor, Bill Atkinson, and RECs, and it resulted partly in this increased funding for mental health care. But this became a source of controversy for your predecessor. Another source of controversy there at WakeMed was a relationship, his strained relationships between doctors and the institution itself. And, of course, that's a challenge you're always going to face. The doctors come in. They're the ones who are bringing in the patients. They have the procedures and they have their way of doing things, and you're responsible for the bottom line. First of all, how is your relationship with the doctors right now, and what's the art in managing those two priorities?
The relationship day-to-day is great, and I say that kiddingly. You know, it's about building that trust. And it's about building transparency. And I have nothing but praise for my predecessors from Ray Champ and Bill Atkinson. They did a lot of work and have helped WakeMed become really one of the premier health systems in the region. But it's a relationship process, right? The patient has to have a relationship with the physician. The physician has to have relationships with the hospital. The hospital staff has to have relationships with the community. The community has, because it's built on trust, right? People are coming to you when they're their most vulnerable. So it really is about how you enhance, pay attention to, cultivate, listen, respond. And so I try to make sure we're an organization that develops great relationships with our medical staff, our staff of caregivers and providers, the community, our legislature, because really it's about building that trust and that partnership.
How have things changed in the hospital system because of the Affordable Care Act?
Well, in the short run, it's had an impact. One of several benefits is it's helping create a focus on the transition from a fee-for-service, focus on a transition from healthcare to health. So it's creating some momentum when heretofore there's been a lot of inertia in doing that. So for us, obviously, with as high a population of uninsured and Medicaid patients that we care for, if we could expand that number, we would personally benefit from that, as I think much of the patients that would then be eligible for care would be able to do. But again, that's a political solution. We're working very closely to make sure we're able to respond and deliver care to those that need it now.
But I'd like you to talk more about that, because that certainly is the holy grail of the medical system, is actually to deliver wellness rather than deliver procedures, right? And right now, as we said, the incentives tend to be in that. Once you've delivered the procedure, you've done your job, you get your paycheck. Is the Affordable Care Act really changing the emphasis now on wellness and on outcomes? And if so, how so?
I think it's starting to create the momentum to have that change occur. And fortunately, because I don't think the system would be able to respond to a rapid turn. So as you said, you start to align incentives, you start to educate, again, the patient, physicians, community organizations, faith-based organizations, and other health systems as to how that can work, and you start to move in that direction. And so that's the real benefit, is it's starting to get people to focus. And now we're fortunate. Wake County's the healthiest county in North Carolina, and Wake County is the 11th healthiest capital county in the country. So we're kind of...
I heard you squeeze that in, the healthiest capital county.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, 11th healthiest capital county. So we've got some work to go, but there's a goal to become that. Now, I think North Carolina is the 34th healthiest state, so we got a lot of work as a state. But again, that's opportunity and us to be able to make a difference.
Well, good luck with it, and thank you for talking with us. Donald Ginzig is the new CEO of WakeMed Health Hospitals. Just ahead, hey, grab your clubs like I golf. Grab your clubs. We're going to the U.S. Open. It's back at Pinehurst. Hooray. Stay tuned.